This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good the Tuesday. It is June the 15th of 2021. I mean, the Mets, they do what they do. Doesn't matter who they start. Goes out there, pitches a gem, another victory. Yankees, well, they didn't lose last night, which is good news. We're leading into a all-important Game 5 of Brooklyn against the ever-tough opponent of the Milwaukee Bucks. And a lot going on. I'm an older man now. You're working with an older man, Chris Canty. Because I now, officially, as of last night, have a child entering high school. An older man you work with.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. That's pretty cool.
Thank you. I actually got in trouble, Rick. And good morning to you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. What time do you want me over for the Islanders game tonight?
The 8 o'clock Islanders start. Why don't you show up right before game time would be great.
No, let's pregame a little bit.
No, I don't see that happening.
I'll bring some food. We'll grill it up.
I don't see that happening. I do have a nice grill, though.
No, I know. But, you told me. I'll bring the Zimas for you.
No, I don't want you. Listen, what's wrong with the Zima? You can destroy the Zima people all you want. There's nothing wrong with the Zima.
You want a White Claw? You tell me what you want. I'll bring it.
I don't want you in my home is what I want for the Islanders.
That's just nasty.
Well, you know what? It's true. Why would I want you in my home to root for the Islanders in my safe space? That's not what I want.
Rico, I guess you got to pick up what Dave is putting down. You guys are just work friends. You're not real friends.
It's clear now.
Yeah.
All right,
he's sending that message loud and clear.
That's right.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Islanders, you're not welcome to watch and enjoy and revel in that at my home. No, absolutely not.
I was going to swing by Bagel Master, get you some of your favorites. Bring those over.
Well, that would be lovely.
But now I can't. Now you don't want that. I was going to bring kids from Islander stuff.
No, I certainly don't want that.
Well, Dave, this is why Rick loves Kay and why he has this open love affair with him, because of the way you treat him. Think about it. You're not inviting him to his house. Kay invites him over all the time.
He's never been to Kay's house. He's been like one time.
Well, he still gets the invitation, though, Dave. He feels welcome. That's the difference. You're telling the guy don't even show up.
That's right. Don't show up. If you want to watch the Islanders game, now, on for another game, for... Say, tomorrow night, you want to come over and hang out? We'll watch whatever sports are on. Take in the Mets game at 7 o'clock. You'd be more than welcome. I'd supply a nice smorgasbord of food and beverage and all that stuff. But, you know, hopefully we get the dogs to not throw up for a little bit, and you could hang out. But, no, Islanders game tonight, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But there is no other game. That is the game. Tonight is the game.
No,
Game two in Tampa is the game.
Nets-Bucks is a big game.
Come on.
What do you mean no?
What I'm talking about a team that's
not a
chance
big game.
Here, Dave. Let's talk about a team that's got a chance to win the championship.
You're gonna bury the Nets already?
I'm in such a bad mood today. I should be in a great mood.
You know what? You're ridiculous. How are you? Your team is 7 wins away from hoisting the most famous trophy in all of sports. How are you in a bad mood today?
Okay, 7 wins gets me the cup, which would be great. Wherever they decide to have the parade, that would be awesome. Number one on my list, number two, which is a close second, maybe even a 1B, is the Utah Jazz. They let me down.
They're not that good.
Relax, okay? Relax.
Oh, God.
They were the best team.
I've never wanted to see a man naked more in my life.
It's something I want. The people need it. All I need is Utah to step their game up. They could have taken a stranglehold of the series, and they let me down.
Mike Conley not being there hurts that team.
It's killing him right now.
Yeah, hurts that team really bad.
Gotta watch playoff.
The Clippers ran away with that game last night. No. Ran away with it.
Kawhi dunking on people.
Oh. That was nasty, wasn't it? Oh, man.
Sick of it.
There's a chalk out line from one of the bigs from the Jazz.
But you're one of these guys that finds the negativity in anything. Your favorite team is 7 wins away. They have a 1-0 lead over maybe the best team in all of hockey to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. And you find the negative in Utah still having home court advantage in that series?
I'm like Tom Brady in that way, Dave. I always find something to keep pushing me forward. A little chip on my shoulder. Right now it's the Utah Jazz.
Little chip.
I need him, Dave.
Little
Carlin
chip.
Needs him.
So I need to tell you this. Now, Chris, I think you'll appreciate it. Rick, I think you'll be, and this is why you're so special. So outside on the turf at the high school last night, now, at the same time, we drop Alex off at his 11U baseball game, and we go to Ben's graduation. Only two people are allowed, so Alex isn't even allowed to go, so he goes to play in his baseball game. So we're there, and all the kids are there, and the principal's speaking and giving us a whole talk about, you know, perseverance and overcoming what these kids have overcome and COVID and how great it's been and entering high school and all these things. And Sherry looks at me. She goes, you've got to be kidding me. I said, what? She said, you're streaming Alex's game on your phone, on your lap, while they're doing graduation? And I said, yeah, well, I want to see what's happening. She goes, I can't even believe you. I can't even believe you. So I quietly had the game streaming on my phone on my lap, bothering nobody, but I'm glancing down and seeing what's going on. She felt the way about this as if I was being disrespectful to the graduating class of 2025.
Couple things.
Yeah.
First being this one. What a bougie town you live in, by the way. They're live streaming these baseball games?
Well, there's actually an app called Game Changer. It's phenomenal.
Someone has to video them.
No, it's not
it's
video.
It's a great app, but someone's got to videotape them, doesn't it?
No, it's not video. Someone basically is scoring the game.
Oh, so it's not video?
No, not video.
Oh, okay.
Someone is scoring. I'm watching a digitally live box score go on. So when instead of you like marking down F7, you just actually will input that into the phone, into the app, and it'll say what the play was. So no, it's not
right,
live.
But that's not something that you actively have to pay attention to, though, right? Like
this
that's something that you check in every now and again. You can pay attention to what's going on with Ben's graduation.
I heard everything, and it wasn't all that thrilling. And
it's not even
grade.
A real graduation. Come on, stop it.
It's eighth grade. That's what I'm saying. It's eighth grade. So I don't know. Was that something that she was? I can't believe. Be present in the moment. I heard that like 5 times. Be present in the moment. I said I'm multitasking. I'm paying attention and I'm paying attention.
I think this is pent up. I don't think this is just you deciding to look at the box score during the graduation. This is the dogs. This is all of it.
It's all coming to an ugly head here.
It's been bubbling underneath the surface. Now all of a sudden she's just ready to snap at you for anything at this point. Just be present, Dave. Don't walk by the cages when you see puke.
There might be some resentment for allowing the boys to be able to get two dogs. I think that's the underlying.
That was her.
The underlying rift between you two.
That was her. Well, I wanted the one. She's like, we can't separate the brother and the sister. I said, they won't remember the other one existed in 90 seconds once we take the one out. No, I can't do that. We got to get two.
Well, Dave, she does everything for you. She was relying on you in that moment to be the voice of reason and to shut it down, and you didn't do it. You left the door wide open. Like, at some point, she's looking at you saying, you know what? Maybe you can do something when you take the bull by the horns and make sure that we don't go down this road. Maybe.
But why would you suggest that?
Dave, because she doesn't want to have to always be the bad guy. She doesn't want to have to always tell the boys they can't do something. Sometimes she wants to bounce that off on you.
Yeah, I'm not very good with that.
No, you like the fun, crazy uncle.
Yeah. That's right. That's exactly right.
At some
right.
point, here's what I see happening at some point.
So you think things are falling apart?
No, I don't think, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily think this is like headed for the divorce or anything. But I could at some point see in like Sherry midway through the Giants season, like praying, maybe even trying to fix the game where the Giants lose and you potentially could leave home for a couple days, maybe even a week.
Well,
like she's probably thinking about you the way you talk about the dogs. Like maybe I just leave the door open and just
if I could just open the door and let them out, I would.
Just
I would
do it.
Bye bye. Have a good life. And just kind of put if he goes, he goes.
Yeah, if he decides like he wants to go away for a little bit, it'd be fine. Be welcome. Could use a vacation from Dave.
Don't threaten me through Rick DiPietro. I'll go. You tell her that if she leaves the door open and looks to push me out if the Giants have a troublesome loss, I would consider walking right out then.
So what would it take, Dave, for you to walk away this time? Like for
no,
you to disappear?
I can't do that again. That was a bad look.
So if the Giants start out 0-3?
No, because I'm used to that now.
Oh, okay.
That's par for the course.
You're desensitized?
Yeah, that's par for the course. I mean, if they don't start out 0-3, it becomes surprising. I mean, every year is that kind of a start now, right?
Oh, dear God. Yeah, let's hope things change in 2021, no doubt.
I am hoping. Yeah. All right, let's get into it tonight. 800-919-3776.
Yes, I did, Rick.
Yeah, a vacancy at the Ritz. Otherwise, yeah, he's got to move up. He ain't going Hilton anymore. They lose. It's got to be Four Seasons or Ritz.
You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see
him. Definitely going
to see him. That's true.
No chance. AC, I don't think we see him. He goes to Atlantic City, I don't think we see him again.
No. Uh-oh. Ever?
No, for a month at least.
A month? Oh, my God. I'd come out looking like I didn't have a home if I spent a month in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City leads you right to the mole people, I think. I think it's the gateway to the mole
people. It's a seamless transition.
So that could be good for us on the show, no?
It's you. It's that lady from Florida that ended up in Texas. Storm drains, mole people.
Have you heard of the mole people?
Hey, Rick, as long as we give him a Comrex, he'll be okay.
That's right.
As long as he can check in.
Coming live from the casino floor at Bally's.
That'll be for sure the phone call from Hurley. Hey, Dave, before you head down to the tunnels, you think you can bring a Comrex? We're going to need you.
That's right. Bring a Comrex down to the mole people and try to find a spot that gets really good Wi-Fi. We would appreciate that.
Have you heard of the mole people?
I think Vinnie Jones tweets in. I think she was upset because it was sports. She thinks because it's sports, you just can't stop. Would you stream the graduation if you were at the game? Well, no, but I wouldn't choose the game over the graduation.
No, so that's, no.
You made the right call. This is not on you. This is something else. This isn't what you did. Because it's not like you were streaming the Mets game. You were streaming your kid's game.
Well, the Mets hadn't started at that point. Had the Mets started, I certainly would have put that game on.
You just continue to just dig yourself.
That would be violent. That's what I'm about to say.
I'm trying to give you a lifeline here. She's listening because she's probably up with the dogs. I'm trying to give you a lifeline.
I took the dogs out before the show, though, this morning.
Did they both poop?
They both pooped.
Okay.
I kept him out until he pooped. I was like, Barkley, you're not going in until you poop. And he looked at me like almost like we had a battle. And he's like, all right, fine, I'll go. I said, fine, I'll go.
Where are we with the anniversary plans?
Her birthday?
Your birthday plans, yeah.
Plans are in place. I can't sit here and tell you that right now.
No, I don't want. I'm just making sure. Like we're present.
Oh, we're full steam ahead.
Okay.
We are full steam ahead. After the doubleheader in the morning, full steam ahead.
I would also just, and this is not me, like, I don't want it to make it sound like I want you to, like, just poke a cherry, but I would probably mention numerous times during the birthday that you're present in the moment.
Mm.
So don't
I don't know
stream.
About that, Rick. That could be a setup. I think that could be looked at as him being a little bit sarcastic.
Well, you do what Canty does. You just get a box, write her name on it, put nothing in the box, and then when she opens it, say it's me in the moment.
Just no wrapping, nothing
no,
like that.
No, that's not my game plan. The game plan is if the gift is nice enough, then it really doesn't matter what it's
so
wrapped
in. So you can outkick the wrapping.
Oh, no question about
yes.
it. Yes. There's no question about
that's,
it.
Dave. That's what
yeah.
he's doing.
Yeah.
That's
Speaking
what
of celebrations,
doing.
We got to give a shout out to our very own RJ Santillo, celebrating 7 years being with his fiance. We're going to kick things off and get married now, later on this summer.
Hang on a moment. Being with her but not fiance for 7 years, please tell me.
No, Dave, being no. in a relationship
okay,
with
yes.
her.
But
yes.
wonderful. 7 years.
7 years.
That's a long time. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate you that. Thank you.
Archie, how do you feel about
years.
Song? Would you like me to sing it all during this wedding? I was thinking about
yes.
putting a couple things together with the
yes.
singing.
Yes. Have him sing. You've heard how good he is. That Nick song was phenomenal and well-chorused and all of that. RJ, please have him sing.
You want to start with the Nick song?
No, I don't think Nick song. Just like something like holy.
Would you write an original?
Like something like that.
Would you write something like a special ditty solely for the two of them?
Yeah, I think we could work something out. I mean, you pick the artist or type of music you want. You want me to rap? Whatever you want. I could
yeah,
do a ballad, whatever.
A
well, what do you mean? I guess my special. That's Ricky Rose's specialty. Because I need auto-tune. You heard that.
Oh, no, that
Nick
was
song.
Special.
You're going to T-Pain RJ's wedding?
I have to. I have no choice. I got to go in the studio to die. I might probably lip sing it.
Wow, Milli Vanilli
style.
That
is the voice of an angel.
Okay.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
I
think
you'll
feel a little, a little Chris King in the action at the end.
I'll tell you what, I would donate.
And the New York Islanders win!
How about the cup makes an appearance? You find a way to get the cup there if the Islanders win it.
Yeah, that's. Well, see,
that
why are you
special.
Doing this? No. You're not gonna lead
you
me down that road.
There.
I see what you're doing. Don't
what
do,
do
it.
What do you mean?
I'm present. See, this is your problem. You're not present in the moment. I'm present in the moment right now. Game two, we got a 1-0 lead. I'm focused on tonight.
Oh, come on. It's over. I think they're on the verge of really.
You mean it's over?
I think they have a commanding 1-0 lead. We have the biggest Islanders fan in the world, by the way, at 7:35 this morning. The great Damian Woody will join the show.
You mean size-wise, the biggest fan?
You could take it however you'd like.
He's been on almost every. Like, dude, he's committed.
I give him credit. He loves the Islanders.
And that's not a quick trip for him either.
No, not at all.
At all.
Not at all.
He shows up, unlike you, your fraudulent Ranger fandom.
What in the world does that mean?
Don't even go to games.
Well, hang on a second. Let's take a step back for a moment here, and then we'll get into the Nets and the Bucks and the all-important Game 5 today. You've been to how many Islanders playoff games?
I've been to zero because I don't want to.
Okay, all right. So you know what? I'm done. I'm gonna check it right there. Don't sit here and judge me when you literally, Mr. Islander, who could go for free and probably sit in the first row, has been to no games this entire postseason run. How dare you?
No, yeah, it's already established that them, and that's my team. Like your team is the Giants. We're still questioning the other team.
Stop it. So if I don't go to it, you know what? I don't think that you're any less of a fan. So how dare you do that to me?
I think you're a fraudulent fan. Just like you have a fraudulent hockey show.
You're a
wow.
Fraud.
That's how I feel.
You really
about
are. Your whole
and
life
welcome
is,
aboard.
Is fraudulent. Your entire life. You're living a lie, DiPietro.
You got a new coach though. Congratulations.
He's good.
And welcome aboard.
He probably won't come on this show just because he realizes you're really not even a hockey fan.
Stop it. David Quinn loved this show.
I don't know about that.
What do you mean you don't know about that? He used to call and, can I come on? Be like, I'm sorry, coach.
Yeah.
We don't have a spot today. All right, I'll call back tomorrow. Do you remember? That's what it was. Ask
tough
Sergeant.
Loss. Can I come on? I'd love to talk about it.
You know, a tough overtime loss to the Islanders. Can I come on with that guy that never even goes to the games, Rick DiPietro? That was his thing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Kyrie will not play in this game tonight. We will find out about Harden as the day progresses. Nets fans, they're lined up. I love it. 800-919-3776. Let's take a listen to Kevin Durant preparing for Game 5 without the other two of the big three, Kyrie and Harden.
Yeah, I mean, we go through the lineups of guys who can be out there and shoot around. We walk through stuff, and you know, we'll get the lineups right before the game starts. And we pretty much know each other's games, and we play with each other a lot throughout the season. So the guys can't play. We've been prepared for situations like that. So, like I said, we're pros. We got to adapt to anything. And if Kyrie and James are out there, guys will be ready. And if not, guys will be ready as well. So that's just really what it is up here at this level.
Chris, if neither of them play, do you give the Nets any real hope of winning this game tonight?
Hell no. I don't. Offense is too hard for the Nets, man. And I know that they're talking about putting Kevin Durant in the mid post and allowing him to facilitate the offense that way as opposed to being off the bounce. But I just don't have a lot of confidence that they got enough guys that can create shots, Dave. They just don't. I mean, outside of Kevin Durant and maybe Mike James, there aren't a whole lot of guys that can create offensively. And the Bucks are a really good defensive team. And I think they showed that in game four when you don't have to worry about Kyrie Irving or James Harden, and you can lock in on Kevin Durant, you can make life really difficult for him, which in turn makes life a lot harder for the supporting cast. So although I do think the Nets role players will play better in Game 5 because they'll be in Brooklyn, I still think it's going to be a little bit of a slog for them offensively. And I can't believe I'm saying that about the Brooklyn Nets. But again, that's how important James Harden and Kyrie Irving are to this team's success.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, the hope would be for them. I mean, you mentioned their offense, and we'll see what happens because you don't have – I mean, it's going to be Mike James. Like, who's going to be the one that, you know, putting guys in positions to facilitate
the offense? If Mike
James
is your number two option, you're in big trouble.
Well, I'm not even saying number two option. I'm saying who's going to be the one to have the ball in his hands? Because
Mike James.
Okay, because as good as KD is, and, I mean, most efficient scorer probably in the NBA, like, I mean, he's a good passer, but that's not really what his game is. Right, his game is to go out and get you buckets, which he'll do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised he goes for, you know, 35, 40 points. But how do you get everyone else involved? I would say that the hope for them is going to have to be role players from Milwaukee, because they're on the road, don't shoot as well. Right, they actually, you know, last game actually finally.
They ain't shot well all series, though.
Last game they shot well. They had 11 threes in the first half.
Yeah, they were 16 from 47 from three, though. They shot 34% for the game.
But they still made 16 of them. Right? They still made 16 threes. They have back-to-back games where they scored 86 points. Like, Brooklyn, yeah, offensively won't be as good, but can they turn up the defense and make it hard for Milwaukee, too? And how is this game going to be called? Because if it's as physical as it was in game, if Milwaukee's allowed to be as physical as they were in game four, Kevin Durant, it's going to be tough for him by himself.
They'll be more physical. If they don't stop them, they will push it even more so until the officials actually begin to put a stop to that brand of physicality.
Well, that's what I mean. Not?
It's smart.
It's smart, but that's what I mean. If the referees allow them to play the way they played in game four, then, yeah, it's going to be an issue. But if they're calling the game tighter and they're not letting them be as physical, then that's obviously playing it to the benefit of Kevin Durant.
Let's go to D in Queens and say good morning, D. Lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm glad you brought up the refereeing because the NBA looks crazy. How you have the game called one way mid-series and saw that the other team couldn't compete, and then you switched it up to the point where Kyrie ends up hurt. And don't say it was a freak injury. That was a dirty play. That was a Bruce Bowen special. Okay? That was ridiculous. I mean, he literally had nowhere he could land. And I mean, what are we talking about here? Like, if we play basketball or football, everyone's talking about P.J. Tucker's defense. He's fouling Kevin Durant. They're just not calling it. That's why at the end of the game, you saw Kevin Durant throw that three and was just pissed off. He's like, yo, what is this? You can't have 82 games called one way. All the other series are called one way, and this particular series is being refereed a specific way. This looks crazy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I mean, that's, again, I mean, you're in the hands of what the officials decide on that day that they're going to call. I mean, I don't care what the sport is. Hockey's the same way. What they call during the regular season is completely different than what they're calling in the postseason. I know people want to call it the same way, but you say that, and then all of a sudden you get to the postseason and you're complaining that it's not physical enough. Like, come on, let the guys play.
Well, isn't that the argument with Jokic and not throwing him out in an elimination game? Well, why would you throw out Jokic in an elimination game? You got to give the Denver Nuggets a chance. Well, do you want the refs to officiate it the same way that they officiate the regular season, or do you want different rules for the postseason?
But there's got to be a happy medium, no? Like you can't be. At least I would think that most people don't want to watch P.J. Tucker, you know, mauling Kevin Durant on every possession.
I didn't necessarily feel like it was P.J. Tucker mauling Kevin Durant as much as I thought that P.J. Tucker, you know, made it tough for Kevin Durant. I think P.J. Tucker is a really, really good defender.
He is a good defender.
And there were times where P.J. Tucker was called for fouls with Kevin Durant trying to score the basketball. Like, you saw that. That actually happened. But I just thought, by and large, P.J. Tucker did a good job of defending Kevin Durant, not giving him a whole lot of room to breathe. But I think also the help defense from the Bucks made a difference in terms of forcing Kevin Durant in certain situations to have to give up the basketball, which made it really difficult, you know, for the Brooklyn Nets to get their offense going. I didn't see it as the refs taking the game away from Brooklyn and Kevin Durant as much as I did the Bucks making life difficult for Kevin Durant, which makes it a lot harder for everybody else.
See, I think it could have gone either way. Like, I think in a game like the other night, you could have gotten Milwaukee into huge foul trouble if you would have called it tightly, and you didn't, and they're going to push the envelope as far as they can when it's not called like that.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. What you just said is the difference. Like, if they're calling it like they called it in the regular season, then all of a sudden things have to change because P.J. Tucker gets an early foul trouble.
Yeah, you can't play like that.
Well, here's the difference. I mean, think about this for a second. And I think it's good defense. Don't get me wrong. I think Milwaukee plays good, hard defense. But in this series, Brooklyn's averaging almost 11 free throw attempts a game. They average 23 during the regular season a game. That's a huge discrepancy.
Yeah, it's a huge discrepancy. I guess I just look at it from this standpoint. Like, when you get into the postseason, the intensity ratchets up, and it gets a lot more difficult when you don't have guys that can break defenses down like Kyrie Irving or James Harden available. Like, I think that also is a factor in this, too, in terms of Brooklyn being able to get to the foul line, being able to get foul trouble from the Bucks defenders, especially the guys that give them trouble, guys like P.J. Tucker and Jrue Holiday. Like, I just feel like because you don't have Kyrie Irving and James Harden, the guys that are stepping in to fill in for those dudes are a lot more limited in terms of what they can do, which gives the Bucks an opportunity to be able to help out on Kevin Durant, who's supposed to be the best player in the world right now.
We wouldn't be talking about a game five tonight if those...
Exactly. No matter how the officials referee the game, it wouldn't matter.
No. Mel in Queens. Good morning, Mel. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Look, man, I'm one of the people to say, listen, man, no excuses, man. Kevin Durant is not going against a super team. He's going against Greek Freak and a bunch of glorified role players that always struggle in the playoffs. They struggled the first two games. They, you know, they struggled game three. They had a decent, they had a good game four. So Kevin Durant has got to be Kevin Durant. Go out there. If you drop 45 within the next two games, at least this game and game seven, then they got a chance to win this series. So, like, we got to stop acting like they can't win this series. LeBron won two games by himself with Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson against Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green, and all those guys. So it's time to put pressure on Kevin Durant. Get it done if you want to be the best player in the game. That's how I look at it.
Remind me, though, did LeBron win that series or did they lose that series?
They lost that series.
Okay. I mean, I get what he's saying. I mean, Kevin Durant, I mean, he's at that level. I just don't know. I mean, this is not like the Milwaukee Bucks are some schlub team. It's not an excuse. It's a reason. I mean, you look at you lost. I mean, you got no Harden. You got no Kyrie. I mean, that makes a big difference. You've gone back-to-back games and you scored less than 100 points.
You lost 60 points of offense and how many assists a game? I mean, it's the reason Milwaukee has a prayer right now is because those two guys are out.
Yes. That's why we're at this point where it's 2-2 and now Nets fans are concerned that they may not win the series.
That's right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Let's start out with James Harden. This is from SportsCenter last night. Says he's working to return.
You know, the one thing you know about James Harden, and it's been the case earlier this season when he had the hamstring injury, is he's wanted to play through those injuries. He's wanted to be on the court. The team very often has had to save him from himself and certainly, try to avoid longer-term injuries. But, the urgency is there in a Game 5 to get him back on the court. But the Nets say that they're going to act independent of the Kyrie Irving injury. They want to know that James Harden is healthy before he's back on, but he's certainly much closer to a return than Kyrie Irving.
All right, and here's the update on Kyrie from Woj.
The Nets have to prepare at this point for the possibility that he won't be able to play again in this series. Certainly, Game 6 is going to be an elimination game for someone. He is ruled out of Game 5, but this was this is an injury that the Nets, are going to treat around the clock, try to get Kyrie Irving back. But right now, it is unclear to them whether he can play again in this series. He's certainly ruled out for Game 5.
Don't you have to push James Harden to play in this game tonight?
No. You don't do it unless he's ready, Dave. You don't. The last thing the Brooklyn Nets need to do is what the Golden State Warriors did a couple of years ago when they pushed Kevin Durant in that NBA Finals, and you saw what happened with that, with the Achilles. Kevin Durant lost an entire year of his career. Like, the last thing you want to do if you're Brooklyn is put James Harden out there and somehow, some way, compromise his health long term. Like, this hamstring has been an issue all season long. It cost him to miss over a month of the season. And then, of course, he got back for the playoffs, and now we're missing time again. Same hamstring. Like, I just feel like this is one of those where you need to take a conservative approach. Even if James Harden feels like he's healthy enough to be out there, your medical staff damn well better make sure that there's no chance that he's going to compromise himself long term.
I think it's more, too. I mean, this is – I know it feels like right now in the moment – that it's a must-win for the Nets, but it's not. Like, this is not, they lose, the series is over.
If they lose this game tonight and Harden doesn't come back for Game 6, and it sounds like Kyrie's already done
for the series. No, timeout. But that's not what I'm saying, right? Like, you wouldn't push it now because you realize that even if we lose, there'll be a Game 6. So why not give them a couple extra days? Because the last thing you would want, because you saw how it deflated the team when Kyrie went out, is everyone gets all amped up because James is back, right? Like, he's going to push through this thing. He's going to play. Then all of a sudden, you're a couple minutes into the game. He goes up for a layup or something, and all of a sudden comes down, and his hamstring tightens up again. And then you lose him. So you spend the entire time thinking you're going to have James Harden. You game plan like you're going to have James Harden. Then all of a sudden, he's gone. You'd rather just say, rest it. We'll band together. We'll try to – all the role guys, the role players will try to step up. KD will do what KD does, and we'll try to win this one. And if we don't, then at least we kind of have the in the back of our minds that we're probably going to have Harden back for Game 6. That would demoralize the team. I'm telling you right now. If he comes back
and he gets
can't,
hurt again,
he can't finish
and now he's
the
done
game.
The series.
The series is over.
I guess. I don't know. I just I would love for him to push through to try to play in this game tonight.
Yeah, but you say push through. Well, at what? First of all, at what cost to him? But the other thing is, like, what percentage is he at? Like, if you tell me right now he's at 65%, 70%, but if you give him a couple extra days, he'll be closer to 90%. Give me that. Because James Harden at 90%, I feel good about my chances to win the last two games of the series.
James Harden at 90%, yeah, they probably would win game 6 and 7. I would agree with that.
Okay, so that's how you got to look at it. It would kill this team. I'm telling you right now, if he came back and all of a sudden couldn't finish the game and
that'd
he was done
it.
For the series,
the series
would it would be,
done.
Be it.
It yeah,
would be done.
Night for them. I agree.
Because you don't think you're getting Kyrie back. Let's be honest.
No.
I'm convinced that he's not coming back in the series.
Forget just the series.
You think he's done for the season?
I'm not saying the season. I don't know how his body will respond to treatment and everything else, but LeBron James is one of the most durable athletes I've ever seen play sports, and his ankle injury didn't look nearly as gruesome as Kyrie's, and you saw how much time he missed.
All right,
especially with how Kyrie plays.
You know, I agree. Question for you guys. Who would you pick to win the title right now?
The Clippers or Phoenix? Probably Phoenix.
Phoenix to win the whole thing, huh?
Phoenix looks ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, they look great. Chris, where would you go?
I would go with the Phoenix Suns, Dave, just because I want Chris Paul to be able to win a chip.
How good would that be?
Yeah, I want to go with the Phoenix Suns.
And Monty Williams.
That's a heart pick more so than anything else.
Monty Williams, too. Those guys play for that guy, man.
Yeah.
You saw, I mean, after they closed that series out, did you see, like, Chris Paul went right up to Monty Williams and they had this nice hug for a second, like... I guess Monty Williams kind of shared his what he went through with losing his wife and everything with Chris Paul. I mean, I couldn't even imagine, man. Like that, for him to come back all the way back from that and be where he's at.
It's a phenomenal story. And apparently, and I've never met him, but apparently he is
revered.
One of the greats to walk the earth around the NBA. Like, just people adore Monty Williams.
I wish more coaches would understand that. Like, it's, yeah, X's and O's and all that stuff is great, but the relationships you build with your players is the most important. Because it's the same thing with teammates. Like, if you love your teammates, you're more willing to go out there and do whatever it takes to win. Like, you're gonna go to war with those guys. It's the same thing with the coach. Like, you should have seen Chris. He sees Tom Coughlin. He almost starts crying. Like, he teared up. He was so happy to see Tom Coughlin. Like, that's special, man. You gotta have those personal relationships
with players.
It
never goes away, right? Lasts forever.
Well, I mean, it's like, who's the last person in your life you ever wanted to let down? Like, when your dad told you he was disappointed, like, that was the worst.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was the worst.
Like, I don't even care. Like, he's always, like, he's mad, which you get. But when he gave you the, like...
Right. When he told you, like, he was disappointed in you, or you failed, or whatever it was.
Crushed you.
Those are the worst.
Or if he, like, stands up and puts his, like, holds his nose like you stink.
But isn't that more of a him issue than a you issue?
Yeah, but it becomes a me issue after that. Like, now that's a me issue.
You got to let that go, by the way.
How am I going to let that go?
Because, look, I mean, you won.
Did I, though?
Yeah, you did.
I'm waking up at 2:30 in the morning. Did I?
Well, I don't think, if you consider that to be a loss, I don't think it's because your dad held his nose when you were a youth hockey player.
It was more than just youth. This was years.
How long did he go? Like you're on the Islanders and you're looking over to
his
that. Nose.
He's trolling you like that.
No, he wouldn't troll me like that. Like that was he couldn't hide. Like before it was like really bad. Like he would like I would know where he was standing because he would only stand up. I let in a bad goal. He'd give me the nose and then he'd sit down, and that's when I knew it was really bad. Like if he sat down, like he was done cheering, like that was it. But he would give me like I could just tell in his face that he was disappointed. You know what I mean? Like that look. Like that lack of excitement.
Like he wanted to take his last name back so you wouldn't embarrass him.
Like he wanted to go talk to the equipment manager about changing that nameplate. Yeah. Why don't we take that nameplate off?
Can you change the O to an A?
Yeah.
Because I'm not exactly sure who that guy is.
DePetri or something? Can we change that?
Yeah, DePetri. So when was
the
last time you remember that he held his nose when you allowed a bad goal?
The last time I can remember, I don't know the exact game, but I can see it. Like I could... Like, if I close my eyes, I could go back in that moment.
But give me an estimate. Are you 15? Are you 18? Are you 23? Like, how old do you think
No, I wasn't that old. The last time, it was tougher when he was, because I didn't know where he was usually sitting. Like, when the further I went along, like, when I was at BU and stuff, like, I didn't know exactly where he was sitting, so it was tougher to find him. But, like, probably, I don't know, probably 12, 13, 14.
So it ended early.
Yeah, well, what happened early, because that was like his really opportunity to do it. I left home at 15. And then, like, was playing, like, where buildings were crowded. So it was, like, I didn't say, hey, Dad, you know, make sure you're sitting in this seat so I can know where you're sitting. So I can watch you.
So I can watch you hold your nose when I,
yeah,
when
exactly.
I allow a bad
So one. You can break me down goal by goal. So by the end of the game, I have no confidence whatsoever. Why are you crying?
And my dad held his nose. He held his nose on a short side. Never get over it.
All right. There was a time, I will say this, though. No, I take that back. The last time was during the lockout. I was in...
during the lockout?
Yeah, I was in Germany, and I had him fly over to... Because it was a beautiful place. Zugspitz, Garmisch. It was gorgeous, right? So he came, and I'll never forget it. He watched the dude. This was the first game he went to. And I told you the story. My first game in Germany. Like, I had newspapers like following me and Cassie around. Like, oh, NHL player comes to Garmisch. It was like... It was awesome. My first game, everyone's all gung-ho. Oh, NHL goalie. I come running out of the tunnel and I caught my skate.
Fell.
Yeah, yeah. My helmet went flying. I should have known, like, at that moment this was going to be bad. First game, he comes and watches. I let in some... It was a brutal goal. But after the game, he's like, hey, I was just wondering, you think maybe we should get your eyes checked?
Wow.
I said, wow. What? He's like, I don't think you're seeing the puck right. Maybe you should get your eyes checked.
It's a confidence builder.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he's treating me like Jameis Winston. I was like, no, my eyes are fine, Dad. It's a bad goal. Stop, please.
Watch me eat the W, Dad. Let's go to Frank in Kings Park. Frank, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to reply maybe to the Net fan about the Giannis play on Irving and Kyrie, excuse me. To me, it wasn't dirty. It looked like Giannis got there a little late. He was going for the rebound, a block, and, you know, Kyrie was in the paint, so it's unfortunate, but I don't think it was a dirty play. How do you guys feel about that?
No, I don't think it was any intent. I mean, it looked like he was trying to get in position to get the rebound. It's just...
I guess this has happened in the past, which is the issue, and thanks for the call, Frank, that people have. But Sarah Kustak was asked about it yesterday on the K-Show, and she said no, she didn't think it was dirty at all.
She did an awesome job, by the way.
She's Sarah. Very good.
Yeah. But listen, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often, to be honest.
That guys fall on the ankle, land on the ankle, you would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, especially, I mean, going up for rebounds, going up for lay, I mean, anything, that you don't fall, you don't step on more feet like that.
Derek in Brooklyn. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm not worried at all. This is not an elimination game. I expect Kevin Durant to have another one of those infamous I'm Kevin Durant, you know who I am game. So I expect Milwaukee to go like 8-for-30 shooting. So I think Brooklyn got this. The only problem is Steve Nash against Mike Budenholzer. That's a little disadvantage for me right there. What do you think about that?
See, I don't know about that.
I think there's questions about both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, both of them have a lot to prove, especially on the playoff stage. But when it comes to Steve Nash, I mean, this is a tough spot. I mean, because he was anticipating having James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and KD, or at least two of the three. And the fact that you only have one of the big three, I think it makes it a lot tougher. It increases the degree of difficulty in terms of being able to find a game plan where your team can be effective, especially on the offensive side of the floor, man. I mean, defensively, it's clear that this Nets team has turned it on. Like, they play good defense, but it's just a matter of being able to get going on the offensive side of things. And I just... You know, without James Harden and without Kyrie, things are just that much tougher for them. And I'm sorry, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in Mike James if he's got to play 30, 35 minutes, that he can be the difference in this team being on the winning side of Game 5. I don't. Now, will Jeff Green be better? Probably, yeah. As he gets his legs up under him coming back from injury, he should be better. Blake Griffin needs to be better.
Joe Harris needs
Joe
to be
Harris
better.
Joe Harris has to be better. But, I mean, Kevin Durant scoring 35, 40 points is requisite. Like, they're not going to be able to win tonight unless that happens. It's going to have to be a big night from KD, but then the other guys also have to get going.
Yeah, Joe Harris, I mean, I would imagine, and he's been better. I mean, Brooklyn, the first two games, he was good. Second two games in Milwaukee, he was awful. Blake Griffin wasn't nearly as good in Milwaukee. Like, they're going to – and it maybe – listen, maybe it's not just one guy, right? Like, maybe it's not one guy that goes crazy or has an unbelievable night. Maybe it's you know, the collective – like Landry Shamet, like you name, like they've had guys during the season that have stepped up.
Yes,
in big
but you
spots.
can't win this game if Durant doesn't play well.
No. I think everyone goes in expecting Kevin Durant to play well.
Like Durant's got to give you, you know, an efficient 35 points, and then if you get a couple other guys to step up, you'd have a prayer to win this game.
But wasn't that part of the difference in the last game? Well, Kyrie went out, but when you look at Milwaukee did, I mean, it's P.J. Tucker had his best offensive game. I mean, defensively, he was awesome against Kevin Durant, but you know, offensively, he finally had a good game. Connaughton hit a couple big shots. Giannis dominated the paint. That's the other thing, though, too, Brooklyn has to do, man. They can't make it so easy. Like, I mean, 17 turnovers, but all, points in transition, like, that's too easy for the – at least if it's going to be hard for you offensively because you don't have one of those guys kind of facilitate the offense, at least don't make it easy for Milwaukee.
Yeah, and we'll see. Game five tonight. I mean, this is a big one on a great sports night here. You got the both local baseball teams playing at 7 o'clock. Yankees desperately need this one. Montgomery on the hill at 8 o'clock. The Islanders play, and you can hear that game right here on 98.7 ESPN, and at 8:30, a nice late tip for the Nets and the Bucks. All right, Isles are home for the semifinal round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have the chance to score tickets to Game 3 on Thursday night. Visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN to fill out an entry form and get ready to bring the noise to cheer on the Isles. All entries must be received by noon today, so you must enter soon. Again, visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN for your chance to win. You know, the Mets are just, they're phenomenal. They are. Painful loss on Sunday. Then you say, well, Peterson on the mound on Monday. How's that going to turn out? You know what? Couple of big hits. Peterson throws a gem. Bullpen is good outside of Trevor May. You know what? All said and done, a nice, tidy victory. Mets back into their winning ways, Rick.
Nah, Peterson was awesome, and he needed it, man. He absolutely 100% needed it. And he was great. I mean, that's the first time he's gone six scoreless ever. So he was big. Dom Smith was struggling big time. And he was 0 for his last 20.
That was a
offensively,
bomb hit.
Yeah, I mean, he had a big night. He owns, by the way. Have you seen his numbers against Jake Arrieta? He's like 9 for 18. Like, owns him. And then, I mean, then you get the contributions from other guys, too. Like, Pilar, how good has he been? Seriously.
He's been great. That was a big hit. When he got that hit, you realize that the Mets were probably going to win this game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was huge. I mean, that's a two-run double. That's huge right there. And then, I mean, even you get Drury, pinch hit, RBI. Like, they're getting contributions from all over the place. And it's just, it's amazing. We talked about this yesterday, the difference. And the Yankees are struggling, I get it. But even if they weren't, like, just watching the Yankees play as opposed to watching the Mets play, it's a completely different experience. Like, there's so much,
there's joy.
Like, they enjoy what, they enjoy doing
fun.
What they're doing. They're having fun. Which winning helps. Don't get me wrong. Winning helps that. But they got, like, even though Lindor hasn't been offensively what we thought he was going to be, like, he's one of those guys that brings the juice every night. You know what I mean? Like, one of the guys that's always in the locker room, has a smile on his face, you know, gets everyone up. Pete's that kind of, like, Alonzo's that kind of guy. How about, by the way, how about Pete getting rocked to sleep by Rizzo at first base?
Oh, God.
Dude, he rocked him right to sleep.
He was not happy with himself after that one.
Let's chop it up. Little did he know that he was setting him up to get picked off.
Yeah. Let me distract him and has the family and what's going on. Gotcha.
That's exactly what happened.
I know.
But it's a good team, man. It is. I mean, they did a really good job with the depth. Like, I mean, the amount of injuries that they've had to really, like, to key players that they've been able to overcome.
Yeah, but they're slowly. I mean, J.D. Davis is not far off, and McNeil is starting a rehab assignment, and Conforto should be back, you know, sooner rather than later. And all of a sudden, the worm is turning.
Here's a question to you, though. I mean, even when J.D. Davis comes back, right, like, defensively, he's not great at third base.
No.
Like, VR, the element he adds to your game with the speed and, like, ability to steal bases and everything else, defensively, you really want to take him out of the lineup?
No, but I wonder if there's a platoon kind of situation.
No, I'm sure there will be. But, I mean, he's done more than just step in. Like, he's not just holding J.D. Davis's spot till he gets back. Like, he's done a hell of a job.
No, he's terrific. Well, you know, it's nice, though, because now you have competition. So whichever guy plays better gets the job, and there's someone waiting in the wings, and you can't be complacent. I mean, these are what we call good problems to have.
You know, the other thing, too, why this game was so big for Peterson is because you get this win, and the Cubs have been hot.
They swept the Cardinals.
Exactly right. They've been hot. And you realize it's the first time you beat the Cubs at Citi Field since 2017?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Like, that's a long time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But now look how you have it set up.
But now you have yourself set up because now you got Walker, DeGrom, and Stroman going.
Hmm.
Like, that's huge because those guys have been great. I mean,
phenomenal.
The Mets' home ERA with their starters.
Let me guess.
Okay, go.
Home ERA, it's got to be ridiculous. I'm going to say it's in the ones. I'm going to say it's 1.8.
1.69.
Mm.
I mean, like, we're approaching that.
Here's the crazy part.
The season.
Hey, here's the crazy part, though. We spent all this time talking about how the Yankees have only scored more runs than the Tigers and where they're at. The Mets right now, where they're at, the lead they have in the NL East, they've scored the least amount of runs in the National League right now. The least.
Yeah, but they got some great pitching. They might have the best, best 1-2-3 punch in baseball.
But here's the thing, though, and I know people are just crushing Cashman, and I get it because this team is so one-dimensional, but like, how much of this you think has to do with the fact, like, no one knew going in the effect that this new ball would have on the game as far as home runs and actually just contact are concerned? It's going up now that the sticky stuff is looks like it's kind of making its way out and the batting average has gone up and everything else. But if you have a team based solely on, like, we don't care about defense, athleticism, like, we're going to doubles, home runs, slugging percentage on bat, like, that's what we're going to do. But now we're in a situation, it's to start the season where we're at, it's become the year of the pitcher. So what is that? I mean, pitchers are dominating. So is that really how you want your team built? You know what I mean? Like, you're seeing, I think you're seeing now, because the pitchers have been so dominant, like, good baseball teams are having the most success.
Complete teams?
That's what I mean. Complete teams. That don't necessarily have to rely on home runs. They can find ways to, like, they're athletic. They can run the bases.
That's what the Mets have done. I mean, they
come on top of it, they
got
good pitching.
They actually have guys that can run the bases. Amazingly enough, they're good defensively.
They're one of the best teams in baseball defensively this year.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, Lindor has, and as much as we hammer him, and deservedly so, for how bad he's been offensively, he is beyond good defensively.
Dude, their middle infield, when Guillorme's playing second base, even Peraza, like, that's legit. Like, those two up the middle is legit. McCann, I mean, behind the plate, you saw what he did last night with Peterson. I mean, throwing guys, throwing runners out at second, trying to steal. It's a completely different. I mean, it's defensively what they were last year to what they are. Oh, this year's night and day.
When you have a good defensive shortstop and you have a good defensive center fielder, it changes the entire narrative of what your team is. All right, Rick, you say you're close to me. You care for me. It looks like Kenny in Jersey wants to attack me. We'll see if you come to my defense. Good morning, Kenny.
Yeah, morning, Dave. Morning, fellas. Hey, I'm just not going to let you. You bullied me around yesterday pretty good there, Dave, and I don't like that.
You know, how did I bully you?
You bullied me, man, just because I said that you can be a Rangers fan and you can still pull for a likable team like the Islanders, which is not like Brooklyn and teams like that. So I was trying to make a point. But you just bullied me and dogged me.
Well, because I'm right and you're wrong. And I'll tell you this one more, Kenny. I had multiple people walk up to me yesterday and say, I love the Rangers. I would never root for the Islanders. Ever.
That's a choice. Guess what, Dave? Some people choose to enjoy sports. Not unlike you. Some people choose to enjoy it. You know, I'm a Mets fan. You know, I've been misery for years. I'm a Rangers fan. Not much success there.
So hang on a second, Kenny. You're a Mets fan. When the Yankees are in the playoffs, you pull for the Yankees.
That's tough. Kind of. I don't make them my team. But they're a New York team, Dave. They're a New York team.
Well, I don't understand why there's this edict that you need to root for other New York teams if you root for one of the New York teams.
Hey, look, this city is void of championships. We don't have many. So I like to see parades. I like to celebrate and stuff like that, even if it's not my team at that time, Dave. That doesn't mean I'm a Yankee fan. I almost hate the Yankees. But when we...
Wait. You hate the Yankees, but you would root for them to win the World Series.
Kenny wants to go to a party, I think is what he's telling you.
Yeah.
Kenny, you want a party? You know what,
Kenny? For my next kid's bar mitzvah, I'm going to invite you, and we'll party, we'll do the horror, we'll do all that stuff, one of those teams doesn't have to win a championship.
This is what you'll do. You'll invite me there, and then you'll just blow up on me and just dog me out in front of everybody, just like you did yesterday.
I won't let that happen, Kenny. I mean, Kenny,
you're a fraud. You're a giant, huge fraud, and you should wear it like the Scarlet Letter.
I tell you one thing that I don't care if they win every game from the rest of their life that I never root for, and that's the stinking Giants. Peace, Dave.
Attaboy, Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
Attaboy, Kenny.
Oh, what a shot. How could I ever recover from that?
Dave, how many horrors have you done?
Yeah. I've done many horrors.
Figured. I could get pricey.
Oh, my gosh.
You've done the horror.
Well, I came out of the Florida bar mitzvah. Come on.
I wish I would have seen that. And look the look on your face.
I'm getting some very defensive texts right now from my dad.
Wait, your dad is up listening to the show?
Hey, yeah. How about this? Shout out to him, by the way, to make him feel better. So he was listening the other day when I told you Ella had the play at her school.
See, at least your dad is there.
He's always present. Yeah, unlike you, he's present in the moment. He sent Ella 2 dozen roses to the house because she was in the play.
I mean, how great is that?
That's awesome. Was he trying? This is guilt. This is what this is called.
No, it's not.
Yes, this is grandparent guilt.
You know, you're very sensitive. Maybe he had allergies. You don't know.
No, he admitted to it in the text. He just said, "I'm exaggerating."
He said, "You're exaggerating."
Don't tell me how I feel. I'm telling you right now, if I went to a therapist, all of my deficiencies would all go back to him holding his nose. This is where it started.
Wow. Talk about placing blame on your poor dad, who's only done right by you every single step of the way.
It's probably retribution, too, for when he accidentally shot himself in the face with the Roman candle because of us. Shot himself right in the neck.
You're a special breed.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.